Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome to the program. This portion of the show, as you know, is brought to you by your Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse stores in Silverdale, Federal Way, Puyallup, and Everett. And don't forget to go to those stores this weekend to take advantage of the fall hunting sale that's going on right now. We are going to talk to Bob Loomis at the end of the program about the difference between flashers and dodgers, especially when it comes to fishing buoy 10. But before we get to that and get to what's hot this week, which we'll get to at the bottom of the hour, we've got Liz Hamilton on the line. She is the executive director for the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, and we need to talk about a very serious matter. On September 10th, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Fish and Wildlife Commission is going to meet. They are looking at rolling back promised reforms on the Columbia River to gill netting that would include decreasing sport fishing seasons and putting gill nets back in the main stem of the river year-round. Liz, what is going on here?
Well, as you might guess, this is a real head-scratcher. I mean, this is the bad idea that nobody likes, whether you're a county commissioner, whether you're on a recovery board, whether you're a sport fishing conservation community. This proposal to roll back the reforms and put gill nets in year-round is universally disliked. It makes no sense at all.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And folks, I'm sure 99% of you are aware of this, but the problem with gill nets is that they are indiscriminate killers with a high mortality rate. They kill endangered steelhead, endangered salmon, just like they do hatchery steelhead and hatchery salmon. They all get killed once they're in a gill net, and that is a huge problem, especially when you put them right in the middle of the river, which they're looking at doing. And folks, back in 2012, Oregon and Washington, they decided we're going to get those gill nets out of the main stem of the Columbia River and help save the fish. Quick question, is Oregon looking at doing the same thing or not?
We hear no indications that Oregon has any interest in reopening this agreement. They did a full review back in 2017, did some tweaks, and I get the sense they consider it done.
Like you, I am scratching my head. I mean, these are people appointed to the commission by Governor Inslee, who supposedly wants to save our salmon and steelhead, especially to help the southern resident orca whale population. But this will be disastrous, especially for runs that are struggling, like steelhead runs up the Snake River and the Upper Columbia River, not to mention several different salmon stocks, too. Who is driving this train of getting the gill nets back in the river when it comes to influencing our Fish and Wildlife Commission?
You know, it's difficult to say who precisely is behind it, but the public that's watching, it appears that Don McIsaac on the Fish and Wildlife Commission is the driver behind repealing the reforms. We don't know for sure, so I don't want to say that's the case, but if you're watching, that's the impression that any reasonable citizen would have.
But unfortunately, he has the support of what appears to be at the moment the majority of the commission. If folks want to do something about this, what can they do to try to influence the commission or the governor's office to stop this wild idea of putting gill nets back in the middle of the Columbia River?
Well, there are any number of action alerts out there by the organizations that are working together. You can go to www.nsiafishing.org. You can stay in touch with your friends at CCA, Northwest Steelheaders, Northwest Marine Trade Association. There are many, many different organizations, Trout Unlimited, Wild Salmon Center. I mean, this is universally being fought, and if you stay in touch, we can help you plug in on where to make a difference. And either way, you can attend the commission meeting online. My guess is it's going to be the 11th, but nothing's been posted for the 3 days of their meeting. But you can attend it online and voice your opposition then. It's very important that you show up.
Get involved, get engaged. One place to start, nsiafishing.org. Liz, thanks for the update on this. I hope we can stop gill nets from getting back in the main stem of the Columbia River.
Thanks for your work, John.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation.
It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to your weekend and welcome to the show. Let's kick things off with some fishing news. A story in the Outdoor Wire shares that milk may be good for you, but for fish, not so much. In Ankeny, Iowa, dead fish started surfacing in a half-mile tributary of Four Mile Creek in town earlier this month. The reason for the fish kill? A release of good old-fashioned milk. A whole bunch of milk, apparently, released into a storm drain from the local Hy-Vee store in Ankeny. Iowa DNR and city officials worked with the store and an environmental firm to clean up the milk spill before it reached Four Mile Creek, where a larger fish kill could have occurred. It just goes to show that it's not just oil and sewage and things like that can wreak havoc on fish. Sometimes it's things you would never even think of doing a fish harm. For instance, fresh whole milk from the carton, or in this case, a few crates of cartons. Heading west, state records have been falling in recent weeks in several states to anglers. From the Fishing Wire, the Billings Gazette, and several state agencies, we can report there is a new state record on the books for lake trout, and it came out of Flaming Gorge Reservoir, that magnificent fishery for trout and kokanee along the border of Utah and Wyoming. Utah angler Chance Scott hauled a 53-pound, 15-ounce Mackinac out of this big lake this summer, besting a record that has stood since 1988. The fish measured 44 inches long and had a massive girth of nearly 35 inches. Meanwhile, in Idaho, two state records have been broken this summer. One of them was another really big trout. In this case, a 30.5-inch long cutthroat that, from the picture, looks every inch like a massive summer steelhead at first glance, except for that telltale orange slash under the gills that's a giveaway for cutthroat. Sam Hicks, who hails from the great state of Texas where everything is done big, reeled in this monster out of the Snake River in eastern Idaho while fishing with guide Josh Heilson on August 7th. And he released it because in Idaho, they actually have both catch and keep and catch and release state records, which is kind of nice. The other record fish out of Idaho this summer is a black crappie, and measuring 17 inches long, it is a whopper. John Urban is the lucky man who caught this big panfish out of Crane Creek Reservoir in a rural part of southwest Idaho July 26th. And just like that cutthroat trout we just told you about, it was caught, photographed, measured, and released back into the waters it came from. Finally, out of Big Sky Country, a North Dakota angler by the name of George Haug went to that massive body of water called Fort Peck Reservoir in northeast Montana this month and managed to catch a 32-pound fish of a lifetime. Was this ogre of a fish a walleye? Nope, if it was, it'd be a world record. Was it a northern pike? They get that big, but again, no. Maybe a lake trout. A good guess, but again, no. All three of these species are found at Fort Peck, and some big ones too. But the fish in question was actually a Chinook salmon. I know, crazy, right? Chinook, they're supposed to be swimming from the ocean into rivers like the Columbia and the Snake and the Klamath and other rivers along the West Coast. But believe it or not, there are landlocked Chinook salmon in some western lakes, and this is one of them. These salmon don't migrate out to the ocean like other salmon. They are born, raised, live, and die in these lakes, and this particular one measured over 38 inches long, besting the former record set in 1991 by just about a pound. Our congratulations go out to Greg, John, Sam, Josh, and Chance for catching these trophy fish of a lifetime that are not only a personal best, but the best in their respective states. This week on America Outdoors Radio, Chris Fontenot, the man behind the company called A Cajun Life, joins us to promote National Catfish Month. He's going to share his story about how he went to catching catfish as a kid in Eunice, Louisiana, to operating several food trucks and restaurants specializing in Cajun food near Portland, Oregon, before launching a popular line of spices, rubs, and more. Oh, and Chris is also going to share an easy-to-cook recipe for catfish, too. After that, Julie McQueen, the president of Carbon TV, joins us to tell you about this company offering over 200 shows about fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. And unlike other networks on cable or satellite TV where you have to purchase an upgrade package to watch them, everything offered on Carbon TV is absolutely free to watch on your smart TV, your PC, your laptop, or your smartphone. In addition to telling you the story about this company, which has become a major player in the world of outdoors television, Julie will tell you who took home the first place honors in several categories in this year's first annual Carbon Awards, which also gives you some ideas of great televised hunting and fishing shows you might want to check out if you haven't done so already at CarbonTV.com. But wait, there's more. Sticking with us for an extended conversation about outdoors television, Julie is going to tell you what she's looking for when it comes to content to share with viewers on Carbon TV. If you have ever thought about putting together a television show yourself, you're going to want to hear this. First of all, it's a lot less expensive to do than working with the traditional outdoors television networks. And second, Julie says she's always on the hunt for new content, and you don't have to be a recognized expert in the field necessarily to get on the air. This means you might just have a shot at getting your face on the small screen without spending a fortune to do so. Before we talk to Chris and Julie, though, it's time to go down a road we haven't traveled for a while.
It's time for the Trail of Shame.
Shame, shame on you. Shame, shame on you.
Stories of poachers, scoundrels, and other ne'er-do-wells. So if you see someone committing a criminal act on the water or in the field, turn them in. It's the right thing to do.
Our Trail of Shame takes us to the deserts of southeast Oregon near Christmas Valley. That's where local resident Michael Phillips, 48 years old, was arrested for what can best be described as a strange and sick poaching case. It happened in late April. That's when Oregon State Police troopers discovered six dead pronghorn, five does, and a buck along a rural road. The buck's horns were removed, taken as a trophy. One of the does cut open with a knife, where her unborn fawn was removed and placed on its mother's carcass. The state police didn't have any leads on this horrific crime until they received a call on the turn-in poachers, also known as the tip line that's available across the state of Oregon for poaching cases. The caller reported hearing a man bragging about accelerating his pickup truck to hit the pronghorns on purpose that were bunched up together in the middle of the road. The driver of the truck said he left the carnage he created to go get a hamburger and then came back to get the horns off the buck. Most important of all, the caller was able to steer them towards Phillips as the driver. The state police served a search warrant on Phillips' home and found those horns along with other evidence linking him to the crime. When asked about why he did it, Phillips gave an incredible response. The reason? Phillips says he hates antelope. That's why. Unbelievable. Phillips was booked into the local county jail on charges of aggravated animal abuse, taking and possessing antelope out of season, and waste of a game mammal. I know most poachers don't see a whole lot of jail time, but I hope the local judge makes an exception for this sick, twisted man, because if he does this to antelope, I can only imagine what he would do to other animals and maybe other people too. Michael Phillips, you are walking our trail of shame this week, an honor nobody should want, but you definitely deserve.
Fame, shame on you.
Stick around. We've got more of the outdoors coming at you to include great conversations with Chris Fontenot and Julie McQueen. We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
NorthwestFishingReports.com is the Northwest's largest fishing reports website, featuring well over 50,000 fishing reports, videos, articles, and more. All 100% free. Catch more fish with Northwest Fishing Reports. Log on today.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Fishing and fun. That's what you'll find at Mardon Resort. Come to sunny eastern Washington and bring your RV or rent a cottage, cabin, or room at our newly upgraded resort at the south end of Potholes Reservoir. Get tackle and provisions at our general store. And after you're done fishing, hanging out at our swim beach, or boating for the day, enjoy dinner and a drink at the beach house. Find out more at MardonResort.com. That's MardonResort.com, where the fish bite and we don't.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Tillamook Bay is considered the greatest fishing experience on the West Coast for fall Chinook salmon and winter steelhead, and Dungeness crab is plentiful. Five major rivers connect with the ocean on the Tillamook coast. It's not unusual to snag a 40 to 50 pounder. Go out in a boat or stand on a riverbank or dock. Try fishing from a dory boat and experience the thrill of a beach launch and landing. Use spinners, sand shrimp, or salmon eggs to lure them. The fish will line up to grab your bait. Go to TillamookCoast.com/fishing to find guides and places to stay.
Are you an outfitter, sporting goods retailer, boat dealer, or someone else in the outdoors industry? If you are, you know targeted advertising works best. And what would work better than advertising with America Outdoors Radio? Our hour-long show is heard throughout Seattle, Everett, and the East Side every Saturday morning, and your message will be heard there too. Better still, our rates are way more affordable than you think. Want to find out more? Contact me, John Cruz, through my website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's America Outdoors Radio, bringing you more business. Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. In case you didn't know, it is National Catfish Month, and that's why we've got Chris Fontenot on the line. He's the man behind the company A Cajun Life. He knows all sorts of things about not just catching catfish, but cooking catfish too. Chris, it's great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Chris, you were born in Eunice, Louisiana. That's the home of our affiliate, KEUN AM 1490. I'm sure some of your old friends and maybe some extended family members are listening today. Did you grow up fishing and catching catfish there?
I did, yeah. We grew up, my dad and I in particular, and my little brother, did a lot of hunting and fishing. I distinctly remember one time my little brother and I were four-wheeler riding and found this tiny little pond that was pretty shallow. And it was one of those places where, you know, you just threw the line in basically and you started reeling in catfish. It was great because you didn't have to sit there and wait all day. But they just kept hitting the line hard and bring them in and fillet them up and cook them.
Oh, those are the days indeed. You know, out here where we live in the western U.S., I think it'd be fair to say most of the catfish we have are either bullhead, which aren't exactly catfish, but people call them that. And we've also got channel cats. But Louisiana, you've got all sorts of different species. You've got blues and flatheads and channel cats too, don't you?
Well, I mean, you know, sportsman's paradise, right? So if we have them, we probably have dozens of them. There's usually not just one of anything in Louisiana, and catfish is definitely one of those things that there's a lot of varieties from small to huge.
Now, your life's journey has taken you to your new home in the suburbs of Portland, Oregon, where we also happen to have a couple affiliates, AM 860 The Answer and AM 1640 The Patriot, which carry our shows during the weekends. But this part of the country, the Pacific Northwest, you know, most folks are thinking about salmon and steelhead all the time. Do you still manage to get out to catch catfish on occasion?
We do. So there's a few stocked ponds near us, both catfish and trout. And my son, we took him when he was three the first time we took him. And it's perfect because they supply everything you need. The poles are there. The bait is there. And you basically choose a pond and you go. And he loved it. In fact, we're actually going to probably go out tomorrow to do some fishing because he just started asking. He said, hey, do you remember when we went to those ponds? I want to go back. So I was in Louisiana this past few days and just got back. And he's like, let's go fishing this weekend. So we're going to go fishing tomorrow.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, are these private stocked ponds or is this something that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is doing?
They're private. They're actually quite cool. So you go and, like I said, they provide everything and you have to keep everything. It doesn't matter how small or big it is. Like you catch it, you keep it.
Right.
And then what's really unique about it is when you're done, you just bring it and they clean them right there for you. They weigh it and then you just pay for by the pound basically for whatever you caught. So you don't have to prepay to go. It's basically you can catch your dinner, pay for it fresh. They clean it for you right there on the spot and then you bring it home and cook it up. It's actually quite cool.
The
grounds are beautiful.
What's the name of this place?
You know what? I'd be lying if I told you. The one we go up to is on the way up to the mountain. It's just off Highway 26 as you're leaving Sandy. Is the one we go to. And then there's another one out near the Carver area, kind of out in the farmland area. It's another private one.
All right.
But there's several around here, and I highly recommend them to anybody, especially if you've got younger kids who don't have the patience level to go out on the lake. These are perfect.
Okay, so for our Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington area listeners, keep those in mind. Let's go ahead and talk about your company, A Cajun Life. You've had a really interesting life so far. You started out with your wife operating a food cart. Tell me more.
Yeah, so, you know, from being from South Louisiana and at the time working for a very large corporate company, we moved around a bit. And each time we moved, I would start cooking for our new friends. And they'd say, hey, you need to sell this. And I'd each time tell them, you're absolutely crazy. I'm not selling Cajun food. And at the time, North Carolina. And then we moved out here, and it happened again. And I was like, wait a minute. We're thousands of miles away from any Cajun influence, but people are still asking for this stuff. So let's just test it. Let's buy a food cart. They were huge here. They were just kind of getting going at that time. This is back in 2012. And it's like, hey, it's a relatively inexpensive way to test the market. If it does well, we'll launch some packaged stuff, and we'll close the cart, and we'll create this packaged goods company. Well, lo and behold, the first weekend we sold like four dishes, and I was like, what did we get ourselves into? However, the following weekend we sold out, and the weekend after that we sold out. We were only open Friday nights and Saturdays, and it got to the point where people were driving 2+ hours. They'd call us ahead of time and say, coming up from, you know, name the city 2+ hours away, and we want to make sure you have some food because we know you sell out. And they would literally eat the food on the sidewalk because we didn't have a seating area. They'd eat on the sidewalk, get back in the cars and say, hey, we'll see you in a few weeks, and they'd go off. So it was from there that we eventually launched our first seasoning about a year in. We launched a seasoning, the all-purpose Cajun seasoning, still our bestseller to this day. And we kind of detoured. We opened up two brick-and-mortar restaurants and a second cart. But the good news is through those locations, we developed what is our current portfolio. So when we got to the bricks, our customers were like, hey, you're not in this little 8x12 cart anymore. You can fry up some catfish now. So let's get some fried catfish po' boys going on. We want some gator. We want some blackened, you know, chicken. We want all these things. So we started developing with direct feedback from our consumers recipes. So what our customers have today was partially directly inputted from our customers at the restaurants at the time. And now we closed out the restaurants in 16 to focus solely on our packaged goods. So now we have a line of 12 products in the Cajun line, plus we have a line of Swamp Pop sodas. It's our line of beverages. And so we have the full gamut for creating a perfect dish, particularly with catfish and any kind of wild game.
Well, I'll tell you what, when it came to the restaurants, I'd say, given what's happened the last year with COVID, your timing was very good. And I love the fact that you've expanded so much in terms of the seasonings, rubs, and everything else that is Cajun and food related. Let's get back to catfish. Let's talk about eating them. Why don't you give us a quick and easy recipe for someone who's either caught a catfish out of a river or a pond or just buys a farm-raised catfish at a store?
Yeah, so the easiest recipe, in my opinion, for catfish is if you get some of our fish fry, our seafood breading mix. It's all you need. It's the most common way to cook catfish for the most part outside of the South. You know, when you get in the South, you blacken it, you put it in a sauce piquant, you do all kinds of things with it. But the most traditional way to cook a catfish is to fry it and make like a fish sandwich or, you know, shrimps and fries. So basically all you'll need is your catfish fillets, cut them into strips. You'll need a bag of our fish fry. Whatever oil you use, we personally like cottonseed oil and peanut oil.
Okay.
So if that's what you're frying, like that's just they can hold a higher heat without burning, so they do a little bit better. You basically just place the catfish fillets, bread them on both sides, put them in the oil, and then when they're done, I like to keep the oil around 365. That seems to give them the perfect crispness without overcooking them, because you don't want to overcook fish. It happens a lot.
Right.
Monitor that oil. And then it only takes about 3 minutes. So once you drop in the oil, 3 minutes-ish, give or take, depending on how thick they are, and you're ready to go. Slap them on a bun. I like cheese on my fish sandwich, and a lot of people don't, but if you put a little slice of pepper jack cheese, oh, it just adds a whole other layer of flavor to the dish.
Nice.
And some tartar sauce, and you are good to go.
Sounds delicious. So last question, where can folks buy your seasonings, your rubs, your soda pops, and all the other Cajun-related food products that you have?
Yeah, so we're sold throughout the U.S. So we're in select Walmarts, we're in HEB, we're in Safeways here in the Northwest. We've got some Albertsons, we're in Harmon's, Meijer, Stop and Shop, Publix. The best thing to do is to hit up our website, go to acajunlife.com. You click the Find Us, and it'll ping the nearest store to you. You can always order online. Shipping is free once you hit $30. And the same goes for our Swamp Pop sodas. We're sold nationally in Cracker Barrels and select regional retailers. You go to drinkswamppop.com, click to Find Us. Same thing will happen. It'll ping the nearest store to you, and then you can always order online if we don't have one near you.
All right. So your first stop is the website, folks, acajunlife.com. That's a place to go to find a retailer near you or order online anytime at acajunlife.com. Chris, thanks for sharing this great story with us, and good luck fishing with your son.
Thank you.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
It's the bottom of the hour, and it's time to tell you what's hot. this week in the Pacific Northwest. If you're a hunter, this is the week to scout and pattern the deer you're after. The general archery season for deer opens up September 1st, and this is the weekend. You should be out there putting out trail cams or glassing trails, meadows, and hillsides for deer, and also trying to get permission to hunt on private land if that's where you find these animals. Dove season also opens up on the 1st, and this is also a good time to make some phone calls to friends or maybe go on a drive along the back roads of eastern and central Washington to see where those dove are flying as they alternate from feeding to getting water and roosting throughout the day. Be sure to check state fish and wildlife land too, because some of it borders freshly harvested wheat or hay fields where these dove will be. What else is hot? Crabbing. If you were after lots of crab, head to Oregon, where the limits are very liberal compared to what we have here in Washington. You can bring home 12 dungies and 24 rock crab apiece from northern Oregon right now. And the place I'd recommend? Tillamook Bay around Garibaldi. You can either crab off the public pier or rent a boat at the marina, but either way, you'll have fun doing it. Closer to Seattle, crabbing has been red hot in Saratoga Passage between Kameno and Whidbey Island. I was enjoying a family vacation there last week, and we did well, catching a whole bunch of tasty rock crab from the shallow waters we were fishing with our crab rings and snares. There were all sorts of boaters dropping crab pots too, and those working in 50 to 100 feet of water were having very good success with the Dungeness crab, some of them with huge 8-inch wide backs. Crabbing season ends September 7th in much of the Sound to include this area, so if you want to get out, you better hurry. Summer steelhead fishing is picking up on the Cowlitz River above the I-5 bridge. It's not too crazy yet as far as the crowds are either. Last week, creel checkers found 16 bank anglers with 7 steelhead, and 27 anglers and 9 boats had kept 19 steelhead. Down at Drano Lake, there are some folks fishing for steelhead too, but the Cowlitz, definitely a better bet at the moment. As far as trout fishing goes, Mayfield Reservoir may be worth a trip. This big Lewis County lake was planted last week with over 2,200 trout weighing just under a pound each. Think 12 to 14 inches here, which should be all sorts of fun to catch. And with that, you are now in the know as to what's hot this week in the Pacific Northwest. Back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got a very special guest for you on tap. Her name is Julie McQueen, but her friends call her Jules, and she is the president of Carbon TV. And if you haven't checked out Carbon TV yet on your computer or on your smart TV or on your smartphone, you are missing out. Jules, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't we start off by telling folks a little bit about Carbon TV? This is a television platform that is dedicated to the outdoors, both hunting and fishing. But it's not like those other platforms that you have to pay for, like the Pursuit Channel or the Sportsman's Channel, is it?
That's correct. Yeah, we are free for people to watch some of the best outdoor content out there. So anybody who wants to watch anything all-encompassing of the outdoors, hunting, fishing, we've got some agriculture stuff, DIY, adventure. There's really something for everyone on Carbon TV, and it's always free.
And what's the website right away so folks can start checking it out now while they're listening to us?
Sure. It's carbontv.com. We also have free apps for Android and iOS, and anyone who has Fire Stick or Roku or a smart TV, you can also watch it right there on your television.
All right. So Carbon TV, how old is this and how many shows are airing on it now?
So I want to say we're about 7 years old, and we have around, over 200 different shows that air with us currently, and we're always adding new ones. So we have a lot of new shows that are coming in, you know, weekly, and I still have a huge interest in the new content acquisition. So when we have people pitching shows to us, I really like to stay involved in that and, you know, kind of see where the industry is going and what types of shows people are pitching to get out there.
You know, it's really interesting to me that you said you've been going on for 6 years, because Carbon TV, in my mind, really started to get rolling in the last couple of years. Maybe it was the whole live streaming of SHOT Show that Carbon TV was doing, or maybe it was just more brand awareness or top of mind awareness. But I guess this is one of those examples of you're an overnight success that took 7 years in the making.
That's a brilliant way to put it. You know, that is a great observation, because we really did set ourselves apart starting about two and a half years ago, maybe almost 3 years ago. The entire strategy changed here. And, you know, I took over operations around that time. We became more automated. We also, you know, spent almost a full year increasing our user experience and adding new, you know, kind of high-tech things into the platform. We integrated like a little bit of AI, so we start learning the types of content people like to watch and then putting that out there in front of them a little more. We started our carbon score, so you can see how the different shows rate and how people feel about them. So we really kind of put our heads down and found out what our users and what our viewers were wanting to see more of. So that was around the time that Carbon TV started scaling and really taken off, and could not be more proud of where we've come in the last few years.
Let's talk about the shows on Carbon TV. Are these all reruns from other platforms like Wild TV or the Pursuit Channel and the Sportsman Channel? Or do you have fresh content that airs just on Carbon TV, or maybe a mix of both?
We have a little bit of all of that. So a lot of what you see on Carbon TV is original content that is streamed here with us. With that being said, we do also have some shows that have come over from the network. They are looking to increase their digital footprint and they come to us. And, you know, they may use some of the same content that you've seen on Sportsman or Outdoor Channel, but they may edit that down into shorter, more snackable pieces of content and then put it over here with us. We also have some original content that we have a hand in producing and the creative control over. But a lot of, I would say the majority of what people are going to watch on Carbon TV is, you know, people out there producing content in the field and then just, you know, uploading it to Carbon TV for the viewers. So, you know, it kind of depends on which show, but there's a little bit of everything there.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Julie McQueen, the president of Carbon TV. Jules, you just had your first annual Carbon Awards. Let's talk about a few of the winners, and we'll start off with the big winner in terms of a show that's on your digital platform, The President's Pick, The Best Overall, Guided Big Chino Outfitters. Tell us more about this show.
Yeah, so Guided is a show kind of showing the behind the scenes of, you know, these guys at Big Chino guiding people on hunts. And I feel like that's a really cool story. It's something a lot of people are curious about, and it's filmed in a very nice way. It's, you know, got great cinematography, great storylines. And, you know, I've known those guys for a long time and kind of watched as they've kind of evolved into this show. And, you know, I feel like that's just the thing that people are naturally curious about. When you go on a hunt, you know, what is that like? What are the guides like? What are the clients like? What types of animals are you going to see? So I thought it was an innovative show, and I thought it was really well done. And it wasn't easy, you know, obviously, to pick one show, best overall. But every year, I feel like we're going to continue doing this, where we just find one that really has innovative and, you know, set themselves apart in some way. So this year it was Guided, and we're really proud of that.
You know, you mentioned cinematography, and when it comes to outdoors television, that's something that for me always makes or breaks experience. And I think that's probably true of all outdoors men and all outdoors women. We all want to be transported to that place, and good cinematography will do that. The award for best cinematography this year, in terms of the Carbon Awards, was for a show called Backcountry Traditions. Tell me why they won that.
Yeah, we had some great nominations in that category. Obviously, I have a background in production also. I've, you know, been behind the camera for years and years, had a great production company. So I look for those qualities. I look for that great production quality, people who are really putting that hard work into creating something that we can live vicariously through. You know, we want to act like we are there with them in those moments. So yeah, Backcountry Traditions, they had a great, you know, nomination in that category, and all of the other ones are really good also. But, you know, you watch some of these shows and you can tell that they're just really putting their heart and soul into it, you know, putting a lot of effort in, you know, before they film and then post-production. And, you know, I'm really proud to see that. I think it says a lot about how far our industry has come in the realm of filmmaking.
Another one that jumped out at me was the award for the best exotic location. And the winner of this one was a show called Hunt, Fish, Explore Hawaii. That sounds like a really fun show to watch.
It is so great. Yeah, so this one is fun. The host of this show is so dynamic and interesting. And I remember when he came to us, you know, wanting to air his content on Carbon TV, and I got on the phone with him and, you know, we talked for a while and I thought, this is just dynamic. This guy lives in a great location. He lives in Hawaii. He's very in tune with his viewership. You know, he is very active on social media. And I mean, obviously he lives in an exotic location and just captures some incredible moments there and some really cool footage. And, you know, I just have to love the positive energy that comes with that show too. He just always has something great to say and is always bringing humor and interesting stuff into his work. So yeah, best exotic location, Hunt, Fish, Explore Hawaii. I couldn't be more proud of that guy. He's actually doing really well with that show.
All right. One other show we got to talk about, your show. Outdoor Weekly on Carbon TV. Did you win any awards?
Well, no. It's funny, John. I did not win an award for my show. oh, that probably would not have gone over very. I don't even think I was nominated. So my show, Outdoor Weekly, it's a weekly news program. We work with Shell Rotella to bring that to the viewers. We just kind of do interesting news headlines, updates, and that could be, you know, anything from environmental updates, agriculture, you know, hunting, a lot of like, you know, fishing world records, that type of stuff, or just interesting news that people may have missed in their timelines. And we go search for that news and then bring it to them in a really fun format. It's basically me in front of a green screen telling bad jokes and talking about headlines.
I mean, how
can you go wrong with that?
I will tell you this, though. It says a lot about your ego or lack thereof that the President's Award did not go to your own show. That would have been very bad indeed. So,
you know, honestly, if I had thought about it just as a joke, I would have done that to be funny.
And the President's Award for the best show goes to me.
That would have been amazing. See, now I regret not doing that. I should have.
There's
totally
always
done that.
Next year, Jules. There's always next year.
Right? Yes, definitely. I'll do that next year.
All right. We've got to wrap this up. But folks, if you want to find out more about Carbon TV, go to their website, carbontv.com. Go ahead and download the app for your smartphone or your iPhone and watch it, whether it be on your desktop, your laptop, or your smart TV, and take a look at all this great programming they have for you. Jules, if you don't mind, I'd like to keep you on board. I've got a couple of questions about what it takes to get a television show on Carbon TV. I think some of our listeners might be interested in that if you're willing to hang around.
I would love to talk about that, yes.
All right, stay tuned, folks. We'll have more from Julie McQueen in just a few minutes on America Outdoors Radio.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.com. bhaorg and become a BHA member today.
This report is sponsored by Facebook. A new artificial intelligence breakthrough could make MRI scans significantly faster. So a scan that takes an hour today may take just minutes in the future. Faster scans would be better for patients, especially those who are in pain, young children, and others who have trouble remaining still. The new technique was developed by Fast MRI, an open source research project from NYU Langone Health and Facebook AI. Now, a first of its kind clinical study to be published in the American Journal of Retinology confirms these AI created images are just as diagnostically accurate as traditional MRIs. Additional testing is underway, and the Fast MRI team is open sourcing their code to enable others to use and build on their work. Dr. Michael P. Recht is the Lewis Marks Professor and Chair of Radiology at NYU Langone Health.
This is a significant milestone, and it shows that with AI, we can significantly improve the patient experience and provide the benefits of MRIs to many more people.
Visit fastmri.org.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and as promised, we've got Julie McQueen, the president of Carbon TV, back on the line. You just heard about the Carbon Awards and about everything that Carbon TV has to offer in terms of outdoors programming for people interested in fishing and hunting. Jules, it's great to have you back on the air. Thanks for sticking around.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for letting me stick around. This is great.
So something caught my attention during our conversation we just had a couple minutes ago, and that's the fact that you're always on the hunt for new shows to put on Carbon TV. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I remember, it must have been about 10 years ago, my first SHOT Show, and one of the big networks was there that aired on a satellite and or cable platform. And they literally had pricing. It's like, you want a show? Well, here's the airtimes that you'll be on. Here's how much it'll cost. And you started seeing a lot of folks that I called one-and-done television show hosts, where they would scrape together their entire life savings. They would try to find sponsors. A lot of times they weren't successful, so it was mainly them putting on their show. And it wasn't sustainable. They'd go one season, and it was gone. Do you have that same sort of thing going on at Carbon TV, or are you looking for something a little different?
Well, you know, I've watched that trend just like you, and I have a background in network television, so I completely understand that business model and, you know, how it is hard sometimes to secure partners for those types of things, and people put their heart and soul into it, and it's their life stream, and we always hope that people are successful with that. But, you know, what we do here is, you know, some people have this as a career, and they, you know, they probably have sponsors that are more than covering their costs and they're actually making a living at it. We also have the other end of that spectrum where, you know, they're coming here and saying, hey, I have taught myself to edit. I film all of my stuff in the field, or I film this really interesting content out in the world, and I'm looking for a place for that to live where people have access to it. And a huge part of the reason why people choose Carbon TV to distribute their content is, you know, I have a saying, it's go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated.
Oh.
And right now there's a lot of, yeah, it's a good saying, you can steal that one. there's a lot of censorship in the world right now, and people have learned that finding a digital home for content that doesn't discriminate or censor certain types of content isn't always easy. And not only is this a really nice way to lower cost, lower overhead, you know, it doesn't have to be 22 and a half minutes of production. It doesn't have to be overly produced, you know, as long as it's something that is legal and ethical and we feel like our viewers would want to watch, you have a pretty good shot of getting your content over here with us. So there's a lot of factors at play there in that shift that we've seen on people, you know, kind of investing their life savings into creating, you know, a huge production versus now where people can actually sustain this model and have a really, you know, either a great side job or make a career of it, whatever their goals are.
So let's say somebody has, you know, a dream of being on Carbon TV, whether it's for their fishing show, their hunting show, their outdoor adventure show, whatever it might be, they're going to have to pitch that to you. So how does that work?
Yeah, so you can actually go through the Carbon TV website, and we have a form on there where you just reach out to us and let us know what it is you're working on, maybe give us an example of what that looks like. Some people put a link on there to the content so we can look at it right away. And I will say we look at every single one of them. I personally look at almost every one of them. One of the girls who works really closely with me here, Autumn, she goes through all of them as well. And then we sit and look through and see, you know, do their goals align with ours? Is this the type of content that we're looking for to distribute? And then we get on the phone with, I want to say, every single one of them that reaches out to us to kind of understand what it is they have going on and if it's a good fit. Most people who come to us already have something produced. So they've created either a pilot or this is something they've been doing for a little while. And then we take a look at that and we give honest feedback and say, either, yes, this is exactly what we have in mind. This is going to be great. Let's set you up. And my entire team gets behind it. We build a channel and we help them market that. And then other times it's just not a good fit, or maybe they don't have anything in production for a while. So it's going to be too far out for us to, you know, to have them on board at that time. So it could kind of go either way, but we do take a close look at every one of them because we love expanding the Carbon TV platform and bringing more shows on.
What's the biggest barrier for most people who are trying to pitch a show? Is it production value? Is it the storytelling or lack thereof? What's the biggest hurdle you see in terms of successful applications versus you're not quite ready for prime time?
Well, I will say some of the shows that some people would look at and say, oh, the production quality isn't as good as this other show. That's not always what I'm looking at, because I know that some viewers like to see shows that aren't overly produced or don't have that, you know, unrealistic cinematography element to them. Some people love that down to earth. It's almost like you're there with them in the field. It's a lot of first person stuff, self-filming types of content. So there's a market for that also. I would say the one hurdle that gets in the way is that people aren't putting enough effort into marketing. And so, you know, we've got social media, which is a free way to put your content out there, unless if you want to pay for it, which is fine too. But they just don't put themselves out there and take that risk. And there's a huge amount of vulnerability that comes with something like this, where you're really putting yourself out there and putting your heart out there and saying, look at this thing I created. And then you just hope that people love it. And I think sometimes people fail to do that side of it because they're worried about the rejection, or they're worried about people not liking what they do, or they may be worried about the backlash, because we know that people sometimes face backlash over this type of content. So there's some hurdles like that, but it's usually the person creating the content just not thinking ahead on how do I tell so many people where to watch this content, and instead they're just out there creating content and then you never really hear about it.
Gotcha.
So I think that that's a huge hurdle. But as far as the production quality, we have from one extreme to the other. We've got some shows that look like they belong in a, you know, in a movie theater, and we have others that look like, you know, I could have edited it, you know, which is fine too. But, you know, there's always an audience for all of that. And I don't think that that's a huge determining factor.
What I'm hearing you say, and this is kind of a difference from the older network style shows, it wasn't a partnership. It was you paid, and as long as you paid, you could put on what you wanted to put on. And once that pay stopped, you were done. This sounds like much more of a partnership in terms of you're bringing something to the table in terms of, like you said, an audience, whether it's from your previous shows or through social media reach. And you're bringing something to the table, too, in terms of a platform for this to air on. No fee required to be on your network, which is a huge change from the former network deals that you saw with the Outdoor Channel and the Sportsman Channel in the past, and also additional reach too. So it sounds like a little bit different relationship than what I've heard of in the past with television shows.
It really is. And, you know, the way that we add value is, you know, we have a lot of people who watch this content on Carbon TV. We have a massive amount of viewership and really good numbers. We track analytics very closely. And, for example, if a show is airing their content with us and they do have sponsors or they do have partners, they can go back to those partners or sponsors who are helping them fund this project and say, okay, this many people have been watching my content. We know it's actual eyeballs watching my content, not just, you know,
estimated,
oh, it's on a network and it's streaming on some TV somewhere, but no one's really watching that TV. These are really good, honest views. And so this show can go to their partners and say, okay, here's my analytics. And then that partner feels more comfortable investing into that content. So we're providing the platform, which is free for people to watch, and then allowing these producers to monetize that content through partnerships.
So many more questions about the world of outdoors television, but so little time we've got to go. But folks, if you have a dream of getting your story on the air, on a digital and televised platform, check out carbontv.com and check out the submissions page. And who knows, you might be talking to Jules soon and you might be getting your story on the air. Jules, thanks so much for sharing this with us today. Can't wait to watch some more of your programming on carbontv.com.
Thank you, John.
Man, oh man, we have got to go. But before we do, let me give you one last reminder about our Sharp Summer giveaway we are doing on our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page. We're giving away $110 worth of products from WorkSharp Tools to include an electric combo knife sharpener, a manual field-guided sharpener, and a snazzy-looking ball cap, too. If you want a chance to win it, just go to our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page, like and follow the page. That's step one. Step two, just go to the post where we've got this and let us know what state you're from. That's all you have to do to enter. We will randomly draw one name from everyone who's entered on August 31st, and that lucky person is going to win that Sharp Summer giveaway. As we wrap things up, I'd like to thank both Chris and Julie for being wonderful guests on the air for us this weekend. And as we reach the end of summer, you know, it's not too late. If you haven't gotten out there for that dream summer vacation yet, you can still do so before Labor Day, or maybe be smart about it. Wait a week or two after Labor Day when the crowds are gone, but the weather's still fine, and the camping, fishing, and hunting are all going to be great too. Here's hoping you are blessed in the days ahead. Here's hoping you stay healthy during this crazy COVID summer. And here's hoping you get outside to enjoy some of what Mother Nature has to offer. After all, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Game-changing. That's the best way to describe the new Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher from Max Lure Company. This 360-degree rotational inline flasher features a scent release system attracting salmon to the lure behind it like no other flasher on the market. Soak the free scent pad with any type of oil or gel, or load up the cavity with any type of bait for fishing success beyond your wildest dreams. It's the Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher, only from Max Lure Company.
Backcountry hunters and anglers, the men and women working hard to keep public lands in public hands. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
You know what time it is. It's time for another Max Minute brought to you every week from Max Lure. And with us again is Bob Loomis. Bob, I've got a question for you.
What's that, John?
So the Buoy 10 fishery is about to kick off. A lot of folks going after Chinook and Coho at the mouth of the Columbia River. And I've always wondered, do you use a triangle flasher or do you use a paddle flasher when it comes to this fishery and why?
Well, John, the reason you use a paddle flasher is because you want added movement. Yes, it does give you a lot of attraction because a large paddle flasher is going to rotate in a large circle. So you're getting that added attraction as that thing's going around. But I don't need to wind those fish up that are just coming out of the salt. I need to attract them to my bait. So a triangle flasher works extremely well down there. Don't get me wrong, the paddle works well too, but you can do just as well, if not better, on the triangle, which is just a 360-degree rotation, just attract fish to your bait. That's what you're trying to do. I don't need to get that added movement on there until I start getting up the river a little bit further, needing to really wind the fish up.
Now, Max Lure does make both a triangle flasher and a paddle flasher that disperse scent, which is pretty new, just came out in the last couple of years. Tell our listeners a little bit about how that works.
Well, both of them, as you said, they're a scent dispersion product, and I can take and open them up fill them up with any type of scent that I want. I could put in different scented tunas. I can put in herring. I can put in shrimp. I can put in anything in there to add scent, which is what salmon are more attracted to than even color.
Between the attractant of the flasher itself and the scent, you're going to be on your way to more salmon this year at Buoy 10 and at other places too. Look for the Max Scent Flash Triangle Flasher and the Scent Flash Paddle Flasher at sporting goods stores near you or online at maxlure.com.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.